Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Can we start with Whistling Straits?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Who built it? Kohler, right?
Kohler, yes. Herb Kohler built it. You've played it, right, a couple of times?
Once, which was enough.
I've played it a couple of times.
Here's what I would say. I heard this from a source, that Kohler is kind of an eccentric fellow.
Yes, he is, very eccentric.
And he wanted a course that would be a television star. With spectators, the hell with anything. Hmm. Did you note the, and that all made sense when you noted the great camera positioning. There was nothing you couldn't see. But I guess it's hellish for spectators to walk.
Oh, yeah. What did I cover there? I covered a...
Well, there have been three PGAs
when
there.
When did Dustin Johnson hit it in the...
There have been three PGAs there, and now this.
PGA one I covered.
So this is definitely, that makes sense that Kohler said, let's have a hell of a star for television.
Yeah.
And it is. It's enthralling.
But it's homemade. The bumps
I know,
and the hills and the whole thing, that is just rolling prairie.
Right.
You know, he made all the mountains.
It was an army camp.
Yeah. He made all the mountains and dug all the ditches. And the first time I played it, Joe... You got to play with a caddy, right? You can't ride. And the first time I played it on the morning, we were playing it on a Monday. That morning, Herb decided that all these waste areas were bunkers.
Right.
So you weren't supposed to ground your club.
Right.
So he's got gravel all over the place. And, you know, we were the first guys who couldn't ground our clubs in there, although the caddy didn't give a damn. Once he saw his play, he said, go ahead and do whatever you want.
Who did you say won, Pat, when you covered?
VJ.
That was the 2004 PGA Championship.
So that might have been the first big one.
It was. Jason Day won one there.
Yeah, he won the 2015 PGA Championship.
And then more recently?
2010, Martin Kimer, Kamer. 2010 PGA Championship, and Brad Bryant won the 2007 U.S. Senior Open.
Okay,
the other thing I would say about it is, no offense to Kohler, but you'd be crazy to go over there and play it. And unless you're a scratch golfer, why play it?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
To see the vistas almost, you have to play it from the median tees, but you should be up there in front.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's some, you know, from where we were attempting to play it, I was with the Interlaken crew there. There was a couple of those gorges I couldn't get. I said, boys, I can't be back here because my best bolt won't get over this gorge.
Well, plus, you could fall off any half a dozen greens end up in the lake.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It is picturesque, but... my other observation, and I didn't watch a lot of it because you knew it was over Friday morning.
Right.
I mean, they got Westwood. He's 48. They got Sergio, who can't play anymore. I mean,
he's a fabulous Ryder Cup player.
Yeah, but and you got to try him. Ian Poulter. I mean, they're trying to win with the old crew when the U.S. has got 12 monsters playing.
And if you broke down the stats, what you'd probably discover is that the Americans just kicked their butts on par fives and long par fours.
Yes.
Because they got youth.
They have youth, and they got guys, they got great players who could make the team. And I think, in a way, the glory years of the Ryder Cup are over because Europe does not have this young collection of, I mean, they don't have this young collection of stars, and we got an endless supply of them.
Right.
We got, you know, just everybody, you know, there's 30 of them that could be playing. They got Jon Rahm and Take on the World, baby. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, it has gotten completely out of hand because it's the profit gouge of all time. We found that out at Hazeltine. Anything to make money. We're going to let as many people on as can get on. We're going to have 45,000 mm-hmm. people out here watching four groups play golf. And what are they going to do? They're going to get drunk and abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And you had people screaming, hit it in the water, go in the water, when the ball was 3 inches off a European guy's club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not golf. This is when you cheer when the U.S. makes a birdie. You don't cheer when the other team, you know, mm-hmm. hits it in the drink.
Why has it become that? Because it's the only time for that. Maybe the waste management.
Waste management. But a lot of tournaments, a lot of the big tournaments are getting more. But the crowd, I think one reason is you'll be called on it at any other tournament, but now you're just being a patriot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the patriotism angle, I was complaining about that last week.
I don't hate Europe.
It's Europe. It's Europe.
Yeah.
And this whole crap they do on Thursday afternoons, marching out there, their blazers. I looked up Branagh's St. Crispian Day speech when he's getting ready to take the English soldiers into war in France, you know, mm-hmm. the great. And these guys act like it's some big patriotic act that they're having, and they're this band of brothers and team, and it's just crap, you know. it's just a fun golf tournament.
Why did McIlroy behave so emotionally, I wonder? He was choked up.
He can't play anymore.
He won his match finally.
Yeah,
yesterday.
But I mean, he didn't. By then, I heard, I was listening, and they were trying to, I guess I was listening on satellite when I was in my car because they hadn't teed off yet.
Yeah.
And they were going through it match by match. It's really important for the U.S. to get off to a good start. No, it's not. It's over.
It was over Friday.
It's over.
Well, Reavers, first thing you said to me when you saw me today was that was a boring Ryder Cup.
It was. And I love watching the Ryder Cup, but it was boring. Every part of it was boring.
You can't. Well, here, there are times when you can have a big league, 10-6 or something, and you can look at the matches and say, the U.S. has the best player 9 or 10 of the 12 matches. You're going to have a hard time finding an 8-4 advantage for
Tommy Fleetwood was their answer either.
No. They don't have, they're not, they're, you know, the European Tour sucks right now. I mean, because they pay so much less money than we do. So everybody's over here playing and, you know, here's Rory representing Ireland, which he last visited 3 years ago, you know. I think it's lost its pizzazz.
You know, the other thing, too, because everyone now has become fixated and fascinated with, you know, when Bryson hit the 500-yard tee
shot.
That's basically what the modern-day golf fan has become.
Yes, right. Yes, and I root desperately against him.
Just because of that?
Well, because he's a lout. He's just an idiot. Shut up. Stop talking about angles and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Just, you know, this whole, it sounds like a trigonometry professor when he's talking to his, and he takes 8 minutes to hit every shot because he got to find out.
Got to go through his book.
Yeah, he's got to, he drives me nuts. I can't stand him. I always root for Europe. But this year going into it, I didn't even bother because I knew they had no chance.
Yeah.
And then after seeing, when they don't win alternate shot,
they
got no chance because they can ham and egg it better than we can. And I don't know, they didn't soften Whistling Straits as much as Davis did soften Hazeltine here in 16. But But they didn't make it as tough as it could have been.
I didn't realize that Rory's only 32. Mm-hmm. I thought he was way older than that. It's just because he's been around forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yes. Hell, he was.
Been around since 20. Since he was 20.
He'll never win a Masters either, probably, because he can't putt.
Because he can't putt.
Got to be able to putt. So anyway,
is this the end now? There's nothing until we go to Hawaii in January?
Well, they got these, they got the start.
Charity stuff?
The start of next season.
Starts already?
Yeah. The fall, well, they used to call it the fall season, but now it's just the restart of
next
year.
So we just start, we're now year round?
Yes. It goes, there'll be seven tournaments that count towards next year's, you know, because this, Joe, the tour. Championship is now at the end of August, so it'll go. They'll have. I think they have six or seven tournaments left here, like the tournament in the Houston Classic is now a October or November tournament.
Really,
or
I'm
like
looking
that.
It up.
Oh, ask Royce your question about the British tabloids because I didn't have an answer for you.
None of the British tabloids had the photo spread of the Wags today.
Yeah, I think they didn't have the.
They weren't up for it.
No, I don't know. You know, Europe didn't have much because of COVID and the whole thing. They didn't have restrictions. You know, if you fly over here, I think you go back, you still got to wait 2 weeks or something. Right. They didn't have the usual. Usually there's a bunch of Brits walking around with a flag in their hat.
Well,
or
I was doing investigative.
Very little of that.
I was doing investigative research for Monday Night Sports Talk when Joe informed me about Paul Casey's wife. So I had to do some do some research for that various project.
Yeah, well, that used to. As over the amped as we are about the patriotic angle, I was in. Made that very crucial trip to Valderrama for the Star Tribune. They made me go to Spain for the Ryder Cup, you know. And we flew back through London, and the next morning saw the next morning's tabloids. And this was like, it wasn't quite as big as beating Germany in two world wars, but it was. They broke out the patriotic angle about Europe beating the Americans, so they can. We're not the only ones that are over the top about the patriotism part of it.
Maybe
so,
they hate us.
Well, I don't know. They just thought that they were. You know, it's golf writing, and it's always golf writing's always overwritten.
Sure.
You know, so.
Okay, here we go. I'm coming to the schedule.
Okay.
Well, we got a Sanderson Farms Championship this coming weekend.
Yeah, that's part of next year.
Then I lost it. So never mind.
There's six or seven of them. I don't know where Sanderson Farms is.
They got great
Jackson, Mississippi. Okay, here it is. Shriners Children's Open. That's in Las Vegas, October.
Purses are lower than they
the
are.
The CJ
right?
Cup, whatever that is. That's in Vegas.
That
the Zozo Championship. World Golf Championships.
Yeah, there's
in
one
Shanghai. Bermuda Championship.
That one's kind of a secondary event that's opposite the world golf thing, I think.
I know what I'm doing. I'm reading the schedule backwards here. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. God dang it.
Well, there's a bunch of them.
Oh, then the Zozo, then World Golf Championships, then Bermuda, then Worldwide Technology Championship
I think
in Mexico.
In Silverado.
Houston Open. Yep. In November, the RSM Classic in November, December, nothing.
Yeah, so they got six or seven left.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a couple of things to share here.
Yeah.
There's a bratwurst missing in Golden Valley.
Oh, no.
There's a bratwurst missing?
In Golden Valley.
Yeah.
So the former neighbors, the house next door that we were close to, the happiest divorced couple in America. He comes back and visits her. He's living in Colorado, and they came over. And they're over, so I'm going to cook brats.
Sure.
So we got two four-packs.
From Grunhoffers.
Well, yes. If I had been there, I would have gotten them. But there were two packets. There were two
they
four.
They could just lie.
There were two four-brat packages, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So four people, four's not enough. Eight's too many, but if I'm gonna open a package, I'm gonna cook them all, right?
Right, absolutely.
So I put eight brats on the plate and head out to the grill, which is already going. And I get there, and there are only seven. Hmm. I put eight on the plate. We searched the kitchen to see if one rolled off the plate. We got athletic young people looking under the cars to see if it's in the garage. Where, you know, because you got to go down the steps.
Got to get
the
to the bottom of this
missing
garage.
We looked at all the corners. And then we go outside and we're looking, you know, it's near the swimming pool equipment, the grill, and we're looking all over. 15-minute search. What happened to the brat?
Any animals around?
I hope a coyote comes and eats it or something, but I don't want to find it.
2 years
next
from
spring,
now.
You know, in a corner
in a
with
chair.
15,000 ants and stuff on it, right?
Yeah.
There's a missing brat.
It's a missing brat in Golden Valley.
Yes.
Is it possible that you failed to remove the eighth brat
no,
from the package?
No, because I looked in the package
okay.
and looked in the garbage.
All right.
We have searched everywhere
and
for the
missing
brat.
And you're sure there were
brat.
Eight on the plate?
Yes, there were eight because they're 2 4-packs. You cut them open, you put them on a plate, and yep. They were teetering on the top, so I kind of secured them, right?
Sure.
And I get out there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Like
I said,
it's
come
offense.
Here. I said, come here. Count these. Is it 7, or am I getting senile? There's a missing brat.
A missing brat.
It's a missing brat.
Were the brats removed from the package in the house, in the kitchen?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But we looked in all the corners of the kitchen. And I looked in the little, you know, the sack from Barley's that I throw the garbage in the corner of the kitchen. It wasn't in there. There's a missing brat.
I know where it is. Where? I know where it is. Seriously. Were any drawers open on counters? Any drawers open while you were doing this?
Ooh. Like a silverware
it
drawer.
Rolled into a drawer.
Okay, there is a drawer there that would be suspicious.
That's
that
it. You got a suspicious
a,
drawer.
I got to go. I gotta
now
go
you're
going
to have to wash every drawer. Utensil in that drawer.
No, not really. If you get the brat today, there's time to be. You
but
know.
It's been sitting there for, what, 24 hours?
So that's nothing. You could cook that one.
No, I wouldn't cook it, but I'd certainly grind it up and throw it in the garbage disposal or something. I don't want it outside attracting.
I'll bet you it's in a drawer.
Okay, if it's in a drawer, I'll give you a crisp
this is you know $5 what? This
bill.
Is tweet worthy. You got to tweet the photo.
Missing brat.
Missing brat.
Open
found.
The drawer. It's laying there forlornly. You take a picture. Of it.
It is
missing Golden
it
Valley
is.
Brat.
Amber
found.
Alert is now cleared.
Found.
Okay, then I got something else
here
that's
we go.
Been bothering me for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of what we used to call panhandlers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every time you pull off the freeway, there's a guy there or a gal there, mm-hmm. and they're down on their luck, right? So right over here a couple weeks ago, the usual guy wasn't there. Young guy, 35, had on a hoodie that you could wear in public, clean, nice haircut, good enough pair of jeans. Giving you any money. I don't care what your sign says. You got to at least have the costume on, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to look indigent, don't you?
You got to.
You can't look like a guy that, you know.
Well employed.
Yeah, right. You can't look like a guy who's just had 2 days of bad luck or wants a beer or something.
This came up on the show one time.
Yeah, you got to have the uniform.
Well, people
on.
Were emailing me. I said, at least do something, you know, for the bargain. Do a magic trick or something. One guy said the best sign he ever saw is walking down, what's the main street in Chicago, Michigan Avenue?
Yeah.
Walking down Michigan Avenue, there's a guy with a sign that says, pigeons killed my family, need money to buy shotgun.
he couldn't
reach in his pocket fast enough.
This guy didn't even have a sign. He was just sitting there waiting to, you know, I guess he had a sign. Help me or something.
I saw one on Twitter, Joe, a while ago where it was a guy, I think it was in California. It said, not homeless, just don't want to be home. And the caption read, I'm giving this guy $1,000, you know, or something like that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think, you know, you should, in your little apartment that you're maintaining while you're, you should have, like, laundry basket, non-laundry basket. And in that basket, you should have the work clothes.
Right.
The
The outfit.
The disheveled shirt.
The uniform.
The shirt, the jeans that no respectable person would wear, and raggedy shoes, and you got to wear a bad hat, too, so we don't see you got a fresh haircut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, it's just, you know, it's, we got to, you got to give me the effort before you're going to get a buck out of me.
Speaking of that, Saturday, I took my dad and my two boys to the Gopher football game, which I know you have thoughts on.
How'd Frank take that?
Well, he was, at first he said, well, are they going to eventually do something here? When are we going to get going? And then it was, well, of course they'd lose to the one game I've gone to in the last, you know, 10 years.
Wow.
In any event,
were you among those booing them at halftime when they left the field?
I couldn't care less. Mm-hmm. But we took the light rail. We parked here and took the light rail because it's just the easiest way to get to the Gopher Stadium is taking the light rail from here because you can park for free at Hubbard. Well, we can because we work here. Anyway, and there was hardly any people on, which shocked me because we got there right at the start of the game.
Really?
And in the last car where we were sitting, there was, I'm going to guess, a homeless man sitting there staring at us the whole time. Didn't say a word, but I could tell he might have been under the influence of something.
Okay. Yeah, right.
And I kept looking at my six-year-old because he likes to gab, and I knew he was going to start
something.
Talking. And I said, nope, just chill. And
he was
going to
make
me.
An observation?
Yeah, because he kept looking at him. And I said, no, buddy, just keep, let's just stay this way. Yeah, you can tell me later. Tell me later. So, yeah, so we were in attendance on Saturday.
Wow.
You weren't, were you, Pat?
I was at St. John's Bethel. It was a pretty good game.
Well, that's right. I saw you. Litteman was there, too, I saw.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was.
Yeah.
We were hanging out in different places.
Gotcha.
And the Tommies beat the Butlers.
Tommies beat the Butlers. Beat them bloody.
Mm-hmm.
But the Tommies announced 5,130.
Well, isn't that all it holds?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
St. John's had 9,000.
Wow.
At Bethel?
In Collegeville.
They hold nine.
When they played the Tommies once for a regular season
game,
they
had 12.
They had like 18 or 19.
Okay, people are sitting on the grass.
Oh yeah, they're in the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some students.
Sure.
Now the Bethels didn't come like the Tommies came and in the big numbers. They had a nice representation. The Tommies used to come in big numbers and they. Some of those Bennies, you worry a little about how the evening's going to go when they kind of, because you're walking down hills there and you see some slipping and sliding and stuff like
that'll
that.
That'll happen.
But anyway, yeah, I could not believe that Gopher score.
There was to prove your point. There was some there was some consumption going on at the new bank, the Huntington Bank, whatever it's called now, Bank Stadium.
I gotta say one thing. The first several weekends of this football season have been pretty neat weather-wise.
Oh, it was
they?
Perfect
God,
on Saturday. It was absolutely perfect on Saturday.
Perfect. But this is one of their, just by point spread, probably one of their five worst losses in history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easily. But yeah. I was glad to hear, though, because we were listening to the post game on the drive home, and I was glad to hear Coach Fleck say that this is all on him.
Did he tell us specifically what was on him?
Not really.
That drives me crazy. I would, if I ever had the energy to go over there and watch and ask him, I was, what specifically was on you? What was your shortcoming?
And
the generalities mean nothing. The specifics mean something. The dumbest fourth and one call in the history of man. It's when you're going for fourth and one against Ohio State.
That's
understandable. You're trying to prevent from losing because you know if you punt, the game's
going to
be over because they're going to come down and score. In this game, the other team can't get a first down, right?
Pat, that play lost them the game.
Yes.
Because they could not, Bowling Green couldn't do anything against the Gopher defense, and you basically single-handedly gave them life. And it completely turned the game into Bowling Green's favor. And then they start getting excited because they scored a touchdown. That single-handedly lost them the game, in my opinion. And it was funny because we were sitting on the open end zone, 103, and I kept looking, saying, why are they on the field? I thought, well, they must have it the down marker wrong on the scoreboard. It must be third and one. And then they didn't get it, and the whole place just kind of started to panic. But his big downfall, at least in that game, is his obsession, Fleck's obsession with clock management and having to run the ball and wanting the time of possession, That's going to get the better of him because he's obsessed
with
it.
Against that team, work on your passing game, for God's sake.
Well, Morgan was awful. He was really bad.
They only threw 13 passes, though. If he threw a few, maybe. Apparently, this Wright kid from A&M, the transfer, who was really good against Ohio State, had a little bit of a tantrum on the sidelines about not throwing the ball, and they didn't. Did you see him out there much? I think they benched him. Joe, I got to get you on the St. Louis Cardinals bandwagon.
They won 14
16
in a row?
16 in a row.
16 in a row.
The most in the history of the franchise.
Wow.
The previous record
That's saying
was,
something.
The previous record was 14 in 1935 in the middle of the Gas House Gang, the Dean brothers and that whole crew. But I think the Cardinals, are they original National League?
Yes. They're a charter club.
1876. 1876, 16 in a row. But here's why I really want you on the bandwagon.
All right.
They have a new outfielder that they just called up, Lars Nootbaar.
No!
Lars, N-O-O-T-B-A-A-R. Lars Nootbaar.
Lars Nootbaar.
Lars Nootbaar, and his mother is Japanese, and he and his father's Dutch. So that's where the Lars comes in. But his middle name is Taylor hyphen Tatsuji. So it's Lars Taylor hyphen. So Taylor must be maybe his paternal grandmother's name or something. And then Tatsuji is his mother's name. So it's a marriage of Nootbaar and Tatsuji with a first name of Lars Nootbaar. And when they tied the record, I had never heard of him, but when they tied the record by winning that second game against the Cubs, he hit two home runs. So
he
they
had
brought
a hit
up
yesterday.
They brought up another guy, Lars Lars Taylor Tatsuji is an American professional ball player. Where's he from? He grew up in El Segundo.
Where'd they play the Cubs yesterday?
I think it was
the
St.
whole
Louis,
weekend
right?
was in Wrigley. Yeah.
Oh, it was in Wrigley. Okay.
He only had 26,000.
Well, the Cubs are awful.
No, I know, but I thought that would be a sellout.
Oh, that's
anyway.
True. It's a good rivalry game.
And the a lot of St. Louis fans there. I saw the end of it.
Well, also keep in mind though, yesterday didn't the Bears have a home game? Or no, they were in Cleveland. I'm sorry, with that offensive performance.
Oh, God.
They played that in a brisk 3 hours and 36 minutes.
Did they? We got it done?
Wow.
Well, there was an interesting call at the end of that game that gave the Cubs a chance, but the Cardinals. But 16 in a row, I think it's the most since 51.
Are the Birds the second wild card right now?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Yeah, okay, that's
it's going to be them and either the Dodgers. The Giants lead by two with six to go. I didn't realize that if they tie, they have to have a...
One gamer
on really? Monday to decide
the division.
The division. It'll be in San Francisco, but the Giants don't want to have to play these boys with the pitching that they can run out there for you. But the Giants are amazing.
Have the Twins ever won 16 in a row?
Oh, God, no.
They won 15 in 91. I remember that.
That was it. Yeah. Yep. 16 in a row is the longest in the National League since 51, did I see? Something like that.
Okay.
So good for them. And that Schilt will raise some hell with the umpires.
Yes, he
will.
He
got thrown out yesterday just telling them how stupid they were about something. I saw the end of it. So,
is Yachty done, by the way, or is he playing another year?
He's, I think he's going to play one more year.
Okay.
But they're not catching him like they used to.
They're
giving him quite a few days off.
But it's still amazing that at his age and he's still catching in the National League. It's just unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it is. I think he's 38. Yeah.
What do you think of Kirk Cousins now?
I haven't been his number one critic.
I've been up there, but I admit.
There's been a lot of guys who bashed him. But
30 of 38 for 323 yards and three touchdowns.
That was the best quarterback performance the Vikings have had since Favre was here.
But let me say this. It's a lot easier to be great when the other team doesn't cover receivers.
That is also accurate.
The Seahawks defense was god-awful.
Yep.
What were they playing? They the middle of the field, and I'm not talking, the middle of the field. From the 5 yards past the line of scrimmage to 20 yards past the line of scrimmage, from each hash mark, there was never a defender there. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering how the game started,
you thought, are you kidding me? They're going to get blown out. And why they stopped targeting that stiff Breland is beyond me. He couldn't cover us.
Yeah, and well, the Vikings started putting some heat on him. They made Wilson.
True.
Yeah,
first time they had a full house since December of 2019.
Yeah, last year they were 3-5 in there, right?
Yes.
That all those goofy people making noise will be a big advantage. If they were playing Cleveland Sunday without a crowd, they'd be in trouble. But
Does this give? Is there going to be Viking fever now for a decent season? Do you think? Yeah, well, Seattle is a decent opponent.
The Gophers aren't stealing their fever, so
that's right.
I would think they probably will.
You know what? I was thinking about this when I saw your tweet after the Gopher football game. You need a weeping blonde's gopher photo. We got to figure out something that you can tweet out to get
even better than just an emoji laughing.
Yeah, that's true. That one's pretty good too.
Yeah, I just went with that. It's amazing. I saw one. I rarely check Gopher Hole until they have an embarrassing loss. Then I like to see the excuses they're making. And I saw one guy said that he hasn't. He really, this whole preseason hasn't wanted to show Purdue anything.
Ah.
So we'd rather lose to Bowling Green
yep.
than show Purdue one of our really tricky plays that we have for the opener. By the way, they should win at Purdue because Purdue is not good and they're beat to hell.
Well, the whole division's not that good.
They don't have any running backs. They're all hurt. Their wide receivers are hurt. They got a bunch of guys hurt.
Is he in trouble, the Purdue coach?
I don't know. They bribed
They just beat
him.
Illinois, didn't they?
Yeah, they
yeah.
did.
Okay.
Illinois is bad.
Yeah.
They bribed Brom not to go to Louisville like 3 years ago. Gave him a big contract.
Oh, that's right. So
my guy Bielema is off to a rough start down there, Joe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the guy who was at Wisconsin and then got fired at Arkansas, and now he's at Illinois, and he beat Nebraska in the opener, and now he's 1-4 since they lost 4 straight, so... Anyway, what else we got going on?
Nothing. Preseason hockey, but there's nothing's televised yet.
What is with hockey? We assemble on the ice on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and Saturday we're playing
right.
exhibition. So that tells me that it's an up-and-down game, Joe. Don't need that much preparation,
right?
You don't need to put in the system. Who was it, Dick Cullum that said it was an up-and-down
game? Smith said basketball and hockey are uncoachable because they're just
up-and-down games.
Yeah.
And you can't convince people that's true, but it is true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you listen to Mike Fertella as an analyst, or Hubie Brown as an analyst on a basketball game, every play is like this intricate situation instead of just going up and down. But speaking of basketball, what happened to our Lynx, man?
They're out.
The Lynx,
I didn't know it was single
done,
limb.
One and done. Second round. So they could.
Did they not know that that's the Twins' role in this town? To be one and done.
And other thing is. They wanted to make the semifinals best of five, and apparently because of the European schedules and stuff where all these players have to take off, they didn't want to. They then shortened the other one to the shorten the first two rounds to best out of one.
Mm. Okay.
So yes, I'm sure that'll be the complaint that we should have gotten another chance.
Did you attend the Timberwolves presser today?
No, I didn't. Did we hear anything?
I don't know.
I heard A-Rod and the other guy said they have no intentions of moving the franchise.
Oh, they think this market's too strong.
That would have been pretty good drama if you said,
we're thinking about it,
unless you guys build us a new $400 million stadium to take us. We need a place to put up our banners.
Yeah.
I wonder if collaboration was used a lot at the Timberwolves press conference.
I think
today.
Our Gerson thing's pretty funny.
Oh.
Because when they introduced him, it was Mr. Family and the twins and the twins on his lap.
Yes.
And, you know, undefeated.
There's really nothing more you can say.
No, there's nothing more you can say.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have an assistant who's your right-hand man. who can't wait to go running to management to tell them about your flaws, you know. So it's kind of like being married. You
know? They're all the Timberwolves game of flaws.
Who in that case was management?
Ethan Kaysen is the president, and I suppose you start with him, and he probably goes to Taylor. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But this is the goofiest purchase thing of all time, because I think they're only
the 2-year window, or
they're
whatever?
Giving them the 500 in three hunks, I think. So it's not Taylor still owns it until he gets the last 500.
What did he sell it for? How much?
$1.5 billion.
Oh my God!
What is wrong with people?
Isn't that something?
Yes.
And they don't draw. The Wolves.
No.
It's terrible.
And I don't think the NBA's got its new TV contracts yet either.
Oh, I thought they just did.
Maybe
one.
They did. I don't know.
I'll look that up.
I don't know.
Holy cow!
But yeah, it seems a little overpriced to me.
Yeah, me too.
For this. But I don't think it's a, you know, people thought, because Kat tweeted out WTF, you know, that was his response. And everybody says, so everybody assumes he's got this tight relationship with Rosas. He could care less, mm-hmm. you know.
The NBA's current TV deal runs through the 2024-25 season.
Okay.
The league deal was a small $24 billion.
Okay.
So when you're buying a team, you're buying is your taste of that television. Yeah, you're
getting
what you're looking
for.
You're
getting a 30th. I mean, the league keeps some of it, but you're getting a 30th, yeah.
Speaking of TV, is Barkley done, or is he doing one more year? Remember, he said
he's quitting.
Okay. That's a shame.
Yeah, but I think it's not as much fun as it used to be.
No.
He's over there nodding off. And
he should be doing a YouTube channel or something where he could just be completely unglued. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, well, you worry about him, though. He certainly made a lot of money, but if he's still gambling $1 million every night when he goes to Vegas, that makes you a little frightened. Yeah. How about this hockey player? Have you read about him, Joe? The Evander Kane?
I have, and he's been cleared of
betting. He's been cleared, but he has been known to bet $700,000-$800,000 a night.
Really?
In Vegas. Yeah, one of the casinos sued him because I think he owed him $800,000 and he hadn't paid it yet.
Good Lord.
He kept signing, you know, he just kept signing. He's one of those guys that wants to bet enough so that it hurts or makes him feel good, I guess, but incredible amounts of money.
Didn't the wife blew the whistle
on
him?
Yeah, the ex-wife.
Yep. Or ex-wife,
I'm sorry. I don't think she's ex yet, but she's about to be. She's going to be ex. Yeah, she said, well, I don't know why they wouldn't look at a guy who's hundreds of thousands of dollars, he's gone bankrupt gambling and is throwing games. She accused him of throwing games.
Well, that's what he's been cleared of.
Yes.
That'd be hard to prove anyway.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But, Xander Kane.
He's sitting on a big contract, and I'm sure the Sharks, because they've gone completely in the tank, would like to get out from underneath it, but they probably can't. So, anywho.
All right.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. If you see a bratwurst in Golden Valley,
you alert the authorities.
I got a buck that says it's in a drawer.
Just okay. All righty. We'll try.
I want you to let me know, by the way.
I will.
If it's in a drawer, I want to hear from you.
I will. If it's in a drawer, I'll really feel stupid.
Case solved.
I'll really feel stupid. All righty.
All right.
EcoFun has e-bikes in stock. And why is that important? Because every other bike retailer is out of stock and will not be getting new e-bikes until December or January. You can't even get one for Christmas from them. The weather is warming up, so if you are in the market for an e-bike, scooter, or ATV, go to EcoFun right now. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will help you select the e-bike that is right for you, and they will deliver it to your front door in the metro area. Right now, EcoFun has Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Motor Assist bikes in stock. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com and tell Tim that old bicycler Patrick Racy sent you.
Hey, GLers, it's Reavers here once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And as you've been hearing over the course of the last couple of months, Josh asks you one simple question, and that's always, do you know what you own? You see, Josh's clients, they always know what they own. And Josh has found that most people that he meets with every single day, well, they don't. They absolutely have no idea. Josh has also seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds. And there are real instances of people paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that those bonds currently yield. So Josh begs of you, know what you own. And you'll hear from Mr. Money Talk later today here in Garage Logic to give you a specialized report on the goings-on in the market today. Trust is often overused and it's even harder to find. Please, you can take it from me that you can trust Josh. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation, and you do so by calling 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
This is Patrick Racy for the Canopy Group, and this is a time of year we love in Minnesota. The leaves are changing colors, the kids are back in school, and the apples are ready to be picked. So what do apples and insurance have in common? When it comes to getting an insurance quote, many people want an apple-to-apples comparison. We can't do that at Canopy. Here's why. The Canopy Group, we believe our clients deserve only the best insurance coverage for the best price. That's why we only offer our clients combined single limit coverage. Many captive carriers, meaning they only have one option, offered split limit coverage. That means they can change what they pay you for a claim depending on how it fits. The type of coverage leaves you open to gaps and on the hook at claim time. This doesn't sound good to us, and it isn't good for you. At the Canopy Group, we're often able to increase coverage from split limit to combined limit, single limit coverage and save clients money. If you want an apples to apples comparison, be prepared. The Canopy Group's apples are much bigger and better than the competition. To make sure you're getting the best insurance, call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.